morning, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, October, Tuesday, October 15, 2019. It is 10:37 a.m. here on the record. Again, our meeting today, as we do every week, with an invocation led by Commissioner Weaver, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Bruno.
Lord God, King of heaven and earth, direct our minds and bodies throughout this day, so that we may say and do things that are pleasing to you. Forgive us when we fail you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll begin our agenda today a little bit out of order. Under County Agri Life Extension, item A is consider proclamation for National 4-H Week. Item B is consider publicly approved proclamation for TEEA Week. Do we have a motion on that?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have unanimously. And we'll begin with National 4-H Week. Starling, would you like to have come up?
Thank you, Judge Brandon. Thank you, Judge Brandon and Commissioners, for declaring October 6th through the 12th, 2019, National 4-H Week in Jefferson County. I am Isaac DeVille from the Reach 4-H Club. I am first vice on your Jefferson County 4-H Council. I am here today representing my fellow youth county officers, Mallory Crabtree, Reach 4-H Club, Maggie Landry, Reach 4-H Club, Tyler Sanford, Reach 4-H Club, Matthew Satchfield, Mid County 4-H Club, Mackenzie Bailey, Hampshire Finette 4-H Club, and 253 members of the county youth that have participated in our local 9 4-H clubs. For 111 years now, the 4-H program of Texas has been engaging in activities to help develop skills for the lifetime. These skills range from communication to community services and from goal setting to leadership. Regarding the skills learned, the benefits gathered from a young person participating in 4-H programs are priceless. We are a community of young people learning leadership, citizenship, and life skills. In Jefferson County in 2018-2019, we had 3,084 youth participants in 4-H programs that offer the opportunity to succeed by learning life skills. There were 226 entries in county competitions and 174 at the district level, and 31 senior 4-Hers participated at state competitions. We had 56 4-H entries show at the South Texas State Fair. We supported the district county service program, cards for appreciation. Jefferson County made a distribution, the most distribution, and brought home the Sweepstakes Award for the fourth year in a row. 4-H is unique in that it offers experiences to both urban and rural areas, providing the opportunity of participants in community 4-H clubs, learning experiences in school classrooms and day and overnight camps, and other special interest opportunities. A young person's experiences in 4-H makes a difference for a lifetime by allowing them to grow and appreciate the importance of being a good citizen, strong leader, and person of character. 4-H, Texas 4-H members have always been proud of their communities they call home, whether they live in cities, towns, rural areas. 4-Hers make communities better year-round. They say thank you for the communities, countries, state, for the support that they provide for 4-H for over 100 years. Now it is the 10th year of One Day 4-H. We held on October 12, 2019 in every county across Texas. 4-H members, adults, volunteers, friends helped improve their communities and adopting a service project. First, we would like to say thank you for all the volunteers of helping Jefferson County 4-H and all we do, the 4-H members and volunteers of Jefferson County are to be commended in the success of One Day 4-H in Jefferson County. Amelia 4-H Club and Homeward Taste 4-H Club, 8 4-H members and 12 parents participated at Tractor Supply Clover Campaign, showed to how to make popcorn hands, helped customers with their purchases, all while informing them of the opportunities of 4-H. Also, Homeward 4-H Club, 4-Hers helped the Fell Elementary to clean up and set up after the flood, the students returning to the campus this week. Grace 4-H Club, 40 cards of appreciation were made by the 4-Hers and delivered to St. Elizabeth's Hospital, which happened during Nurses Week. Hampshire Finette 4-H Club, 50 youth and adults picked up debris left by the Amelia along the roadside of their community. Reach 4-H Club, 16 4-Hers worked at Staple Spirits on Friday. They inspected, sorted, and displayed the stables to preparing the cell for their upcoming fundraiser, and sorted, cleaned, stacked, and the feed buckets and the totes. North China 4-H Club attended the dog festival and helped the Boma Animal Association and Humane Society, where they made treats to sell for the benefit of the Humane Society. They were able to outfit 5 dogs and showed dogs in 5 classes to help promote adoption. Lucky Clover 4-H Club. Blankets, waters, bowls, feed, and toys were collected for the winning Humane Society. Mid County 4-H Club collected donations for the benefit Blessing Boutique of the Hope Women's Resource Clinic. This center provides testing, counseling, education, support, and resource for women and men coping with the crisis of pregnancy. They were attend education sessions for an hour to receive 10 tickets for the Blessing Boutique. They can trade for clothes, diapers, toys, and other needed items. The items that the club collected was grocery cart cover, 46 clothing items, infant nebulizer masks, baby bottles, potty training seat, 14 baby food items, 82 diapers, 56 baby wipes, newborn baby gift box, baby shampoo, and baby toys. Again, this is year we have been doing several different projects around the community. So if you see us out and about, say hi. So again, on behalf of Jefferson County 4-H, we would like to say thank you for all the support of the 4-H program.
And this proclamation reads that the Jefferson County Commissioners Court is proud to honor the 4-H Youth Development Program of Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service for 112 years of providing experience-based education to youngsters throughout the Lone Star State. This admirable program, which seeks to provide a learning experience for the whole child, including head, heart, hands, and health, helps young Texans acquire the knowledge, develop life skills, and form attitudes to enable them to become self-directed, productive, and contributing members of our society. It's more than 550,000 urban, suburban, and rural youth participants ranging in age from 8 to 18 hail from diverse ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds and truly represent a cross-section of the state. The program undoubtedly could not have achieved the success that it has today were it not for the service more than 22,000 volunteers who have given generously their time, talent, energies, and resources to the youth of Texas. And whereas throughout its proud history, the 4-H program has developed positive role models for countless Texans, and through its innovative and inspiring programs, continues to build character and instill the values that have made our state strong and great. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Jefferson County Commissioners Court is hereby designated October 6th through 12th, 2019, as National 4-H Week in Jefferson County, and commend the 4-H Youth Development Program of Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service and the many men and women who have been in this program. Well, thank you again. You did an admirable job, and appreciate Darlene and all the leaders of the program and volunteers. I hope you have a great week.
And can we approach the meeting? I know lots.
Education Association. Y'all come up to the podium, I'll read this proclamation and then allow you the opportunity to make this remark. Whereas Jefferson County Extension Education Association believes strong families are basic to the well-being of Texas, whereas they have education programs that address critical needs impacting Texas families and communities, whereas they see education as a lifelong learning process and believe volunteers and opportunities for volunteer development are important, and whereas they develop leadership that offers opportunities for personal growth and development, cultural and ethnic diversity, and programs and membership is present, whereas global awareness is recognized, and whereas the Jefferson County Extension Education Association cooperates with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service to attain mutual goals in honoring the past, treasuring the present, and shaping the future. Now therefore be it resolved and approved by the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County that October 7th through 11th is Texas Extension Education Association Week in Jefferson County, Texas. That is the day that the members of the Commissioners Court.
Thank you, Judge Boyd, and thank you, Commissioners, for allowing us to have our TEEA Week, the 11th, 6th through the 12th. A little bit about our organization. I'm Karen Mills, and I represent the Jefferson Extension Education Association. We present programs to the community on health issues, exercise, nutrition, environmental issues, gardening, you name it. We can provide those programs for different organizations that you have. All you have to do is contact us. Our members are only 75 members strong. We have three working clubs, Mitra Club, Fort Nature's Club, and Quincy Club, but we work hard. Our members volunteer with a lot of the charitable organizations in the area. We also provide services for schools and churches. We help provide food for families at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. And we also provide school supplies for the children in the area, different areas of our community. We also provide, and we love this a lot, we provide mac and cheese, the community care, prayer, and outreach, which they love. We also make bibs and other articles for the senior groups. We also collect aluminum tabs for Ronald McDonald House to provide them with some services. Our main annual fundraiser is selling pecans and walnuts, which is right now, so y'all can send in your orders. Call AgriLife. Mercy will be glad to help you out. And she can, if you are out in the community, she'll give you the phone number of the club that you can get them from, or you can come get them at AgriLife when we have them. So help us, because we provide scholarships through our 4-H group and our members, families, etc. in the community. So please help us with the fundraiser. And thank y'all so much for recognizing us. Thank you.
Security Personnel Services for Jefferson County with Allied Universal Security Services. Item D is consider and approve execute receiving file purchase agreement for purchase of 20 burial spaces in accordance with the IFB for term contract for indigent burial plots for Jefferson County with Clay Barhaven Rest Cemetery at an amount of $305 each for a total of $6,100. Item E is consider and approve execute receiving file agreement with Jefferson County Sheriff's Office for TransUnion Risk Management Risk and Alternative Data Solutions Inc. for search engine access for a period of 12 months beginning October 1st, 2019 for an amount of $575 per month. Item F is to consider and approve execute receiving file change order number 3 for seismic control structures of all cut ditch and saw file Gulf Intercoastal Waterway for Jefferson County with BDS Constructors LLC, DBA MK Constructors, for an increase of 12 working days due to flooding caused by tropical storm from Melville, bringing the total contract number from $130 to $142. Does not change total cost of the project. It's funded by grants from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, North American Wetlands Conservation Act, and any construction costs not covered by these two grants will be funded by the county settlement of BP. Item G is consider and approve execute receipt file change order number one for spa class building services for the removal and replacement of 20 windows with impact rated glass at Jacksboro Regional Airport, Gary Ware Terminal, second floor for additional labor for wood demolition in the office area. The amount of $2,556, bringing the total amount to $77,585. With the five-board contract and funding for that project comes from the Rebuild Texas Fund. Item H is to consider and approve discretionary exemption as authorized by local government code section 262.024A11 for vehicle equipment repairs to the Intercontinental Jet Service Corps for two engine and propeller removal, three insulation, and final engine rigging. For the Sheriff's Aviation Division, Mitsubishi MU-2 aircraft for an estimated cost of $224,593. Do I have a motion on both items under purchasing? Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge. On the RFP, how long has that been out?
Which one?
The security services.
Oh, that has been out. 2008.
So what is the next step? I mean, is this?
This is the contract, sir. And this secures the pricing. We can add or delete any of the locations at any time. So that's, right now, we're just awarding for this courthouse.
Okay, it's below the budgeted amount, Mr. Swain.
I believe, yeah, I think we had 270 in the security fee fine for.
And it came out to 224.
Yeah, 225.
So it's just for this location?
Right. And at any, with this contract, we can add or delete any locations at any time we need to.
Okay. So I guess that's my question is, the sub courthouse, for example, would that be included?
No.
The price.
The pricing is secure right now for armed and unarmed guards.
Okay.
The location is just, we're going to staff this courthouse at the present time. If in the future we choose to add any other locations, we can with the secure pricing that's in this contract.
Which would go up, obviously, if you add locations. The price, the total would go up.
The total would go up, but not for the individual.
Not the hourly.
The hourly rate is.
And this secure. Is for unarmed or armed?
We have it in both.
But I mean, so I guess my point is the sheriff going to have some say as we move forward through this in the overview of it?
I would hope so. So I think originally when we first started exploring and we went to the budget discussions, we anticipated being able to secure the sub courthouse, I think the tax office, and some other areas because of the cost associated with that. And I think some of those areas didn't have it money budgeted for that. We had to back off of that. And so at this point, it's just for securing this building.
But we'll still have deputies in the courthouse.
In this courthouse, yeah. Yes. Okay. It's that hybrid model we talked about.
Okay, where that's kind of where I was going to say, the deputies will still be there.
Our plan is rather than utilizing deputies to necessarily search the bags and stuff, we're going to use security, kind of like at some of your larger complexes across the state, relying on others. So the security company will be online, but we'll also have deputies, armed deputies there with us.
Stay there for a second, Judge. Sheriff. Patrick, in some of these other facilities, there have been funding to acquire security, right? So how have they been paying for it if we didn't have it?
Well, if you're talking about some of the other locations,
yes,
specifically Mid-County, they've had extra help that's been charged to somebody coming by. We've put $100,000 in general services for this next budget because we didn't get to a final decision on those other locations, the county tax and some courthouse. So with this contract, you're securing this price, you're locking in this price until we can develop whatever plan the security committee comes up with or how we want to address those other locations.
So the security meeting will come back and meet and discuss all the other options.
We bounced a lot of things around on security. And so what we did, that's why we put the $100,000 in the budget, general services, not into specific departments' budgets, but to allow us to be able to use it if y'all want to go forward with those other two specific locations.
We'll probably be having a scheduled workshop. That should be a closed session. On courthouse security. Right.
Last week we were in school, and I want to thank you, Sheriff. You did send that report into the state. The state is requiring, and it was stated, and Commissioner Arnold and I were sitting there, that sub courthouse and other annex buildings are considered risk. And since we've been public, and now that we don't have it in Port Arthur and Benton County, gotta get it. Since we're public now, I would implore
that.
We
have security in some of those locations.
Yeah, we have.
Deputies in the sub courthouse, and we have deputies in the county tax office.
Yeah, well, I don't think we need to discuss it any further, but like a thief in the night, they know when we do and when we don't too. So I want to make sure that I go on the record to say we need it, and we need it now. And Allison, you're sitting there, and I thank you. Ms. Getz, I apologize. So, Sheriff, Security Committee, let's not prolong this thing. There's a lot of craziness going on in the world.
Well, I think, Ms. Getz and I, we all agree on that. So it's about resources, it's about funding. You know, it's not free. And so you guys give the direction and we'll secure it.
I want it tomorrow, and that's my direction.
Vote on it, give you the money, and it's done.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
You opposed? Have it under Constable Precinct 1. We have one item A to consider possibly approve the appointment of Clint Asplin and Sandra Spann as Reserve Deputy Constable for Precinct 1. In accordance with Local Government Code Section 86.011. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Guys have it. Under County Auditor, item A is consider an approved replacement. We'll put that separately. Item B is to consider an approved electronic disbursement for $624.82 to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for October insurance reimbursement. Item C is to consider an approved revised and amended budget for the Title IV Legal Services contract with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Renewal date is October 1st, 2019 to September 30th, 2020. Item D is consider approved certified roll jurisdiction summary resolution for tax roll for year 2019 for Jefferson County. Item E is regular county bills, check number 464372 through 464657. Do I have a motion on both that?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, I have it. And back to item A, considering possibly approved replacement of flooded 2017-44 for Constable Precinct 1 with either a Ford Explorer or a 2019 Chevy Silverado four-wheel drive crew cab truck. We'll discuss before we get a motion, but we need a motion as to which one to approve. And I'll invite Constable Pollard up and Mr. Swain. There are two vehicles being considered, one of the Z71 four-wheel drive truck, which has how many miles? 6,600?
Yes, sir.
And a V8 engine. Apparently a
demo.
Demo. And the other one is replacing the same kind of vehicle that got flooded, which is the Ford Explorer. Look at the equipment. We can remove the equipment from the flooded out vehicle and put it on a new vehicle. We have to obtain new equipment at a cost of a couple of $1,000 for the truck, which makes them both about the same cost. They both end up being about $32,500.
VA four-wheel drive truck is gonna, my concern is that the VA four-wheel drive truck is gonna, number one, it's got mileage on it already, number two, it's gonna use more gasoline. I'll let the constable speak to the issue. We won't be replacing this out of our budget, we'll be replacing it out of the 200 fund. And I think it's happened during budget hearing before, where we have authorized things, vehicles other than Explorers for the constables. And it's probably about time that we come up with a uniform policy so that we don't have discrepancies between the different precincts.
Good morning. With all due respect, I'm not exactly sure why I'm here. If I could wait to speak after Mr. Swain speaks.
Yeah, we have to.
Well, part of that, I mean, you addressed it, is normally we have this discussion during budget. Due to Imelda and the flooding, it's kind of been, you know, you replace what you lose with something similar like items. And it does go to the 200 fund. We're self-insured for vehicles, so it doesn't get charged against the departmental budget. So in previous discussions, you know, this was a vehicle that possible identified she'd like to purchase for the replacement. So long story short, we're just going to kick it up to y'all and make the final decision. I do agree we need to develop some of the discussion that's come out of this is who ultimately has that final decision. Is it Deb? Is it me? Is it Joe at the service center on what he's replaced? We just had basically probably unwritten guidelines and some of the policies we've used for budget. So I do think we need to develop something in the future that standardizes the amount or the type of vehicle we're going to use in the county or throughout the county. That way we limit, kind of limits the choice. And plus we can look at what vehicles, their total cost with equipment, and also get with Joe and see what the operational cost is of these things. Sometimes not necessarily if you get a better price, it might run high operational. So you need to identify that information.
Two questions, Patrick. One is this one that was flooded. Is Joe, or we were in agreement, we have our people that looked at it to say that it definitely is out of commission, can't be repaired.
Yes. Okay. I believe Joe's here, but I'm pretty sure that one.
He hooked it up to the diagnostic machine, couldn't even get a read.
Okay. Secondly, on the, what I got from, I think, you, the MSRP on the Chevrolet truck.
Yeah, it's that's not that. Yeah, that's the final
problem. Okay, yeah, I was shocked. Shock.
Yeah,
no,
this is
the final shock.
Yeah,
shock
on that one.
Yes. Okay.
Patrick, so the current cost of the new vehicle is how much for the request?
For which?
The one she's requesting.
Okay.
The demo? The 15, 1500, whatever.
I see
$33,732.58.
Okay. And the cost of the Explorer. First of all, Joe, I heard that there was no Explorers out there. First of all,
2019 model.
Step to the podium. Are there any Explorers that as what you lost?
No, there are no anymore.
Okay, and the cost of that would be what?
The Explorer is $34,830.05.
So this vehicle that she's requesting is less than what we really would if they had an Explorer, even though it's had 6,000 miles on it.
The cost is for a 2020 Explorer.
And I want to say real clear, I did talk to Mrs. Swain and I sent something to the court. My position on this is that we really shouldn't be here, but that's an option that people have. But until we develop that policy, until we And we've discussed this before because we had another request from a previous constable that's out of line, and we turned it down. He was very upset with it. I'm not calling his name, but this is one that pretty simple to me. And, you know, and I understand what Judge said about gas, but in this last flood, I was in a dump truck, as I've told you before, and I've been, we're going to raise our vehicles. So if she needs that truck to save lives, to patrol during flood, high water, rescues, whatever, I mean, we shouldn't be here, guys. I really think, get her the truck. Joe's okay. It was on the buy board list or whatever. And listen, that's my opinion. That's just one chair opinion. I'm going to support her getting the truck, so I need not say more because it's not adding any money, saving the county money. The mechanic, the chief mechanic is okay. She was forwarded the list that she chose from the county. I mean, I just don't understand why we get it. I respect you, Mr. Swain, for putting it on and letting the brain trust figure this out. But I told you where I stand on this.
I understand.
Because I do not want to tell Commissioner Horner to Commissioner Alford what kind of truck they buy. Based on gas, yes, I hope they would be responsible that you're not going to make your gas budget. She don't have so much in her gas budget. So she would have to come back to us.
That gas actually is Joe's budget.
Okay.
Joe's
budget. That might be one of those things we need to deal with.
We need to deal with that.
That's another issue.
We need to deal with that. But at this point, I mean, I'm just not going to get into telling elected officials what to drive unless they want a Jaguar. You know, and I think a truck, law enforcement, I saw where it said a police unit. Now we can get into the sheriff replacing our vehicles and say, no, I don't think you need that one. We need to, I'm just not going to get into that. When it's a cost savings, especially, that's my opinion. Thank you.
I've been around here a long time with the county. This is my 28th year, 27th year with the county. I remember when they fought over who has a fax machine and who has a pager.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use the analogy that I heard from someone a long time ago. Choke on a gnat, swallow an elephant. You know, now with that being said, you know, the court faces some hard decisions sometimes because of decisions that are either made by a department head or the court itself. And there needs to be policy in certain circumstances that helps guide us on direction on making these decisions so that things don't get out of hand. Because, you know, ultimately what ends up happening is, and we can't really control it because it's just human nature, you know, and it has to do with personnel and it has to do with vehicles and equipment. Those are the three things that I've seen over my past 25 plus years here that other departments say, well, they got this, or they got another person, or they got this vehicle, why can't we? And then we get put in a situation of how we have to justify things, because sometimes it comes down to a need for that piece of equipment, and it must be ordered. I mean, you know, there are some departments that in the past have requested equipment that absolutely, there was no doubt about it, they did not need it. You know, and I'm not even going to get into that because some people here know what I'm talking about. But needless to say, that's an example. I guess my question is, Joe, do you have, if you would, step up to the thing? Because I already know the knowledge that the vehicle's cheaper. That's, without a doubt, apples to apples. What I'd like to know is the price for the Explorer. I want to confirm it's not available at this time. There's none on the lot. Is that correct?
2019 models that she bought during the flood. No.
Okay. Because for FEMA, it has to be equivalent, correct? For it to be eligible.
Normally, it's like for like with equipment. A lot of times, you just get the blue ribbon.
Okay. The Explorers that was quoted. Is that fully equipped?
No. Joe, you would have to
count
on the lot. That is not fully equipped. And then the Z71 is not fully equipped either.
No. So all the new 2020 model vehicles are going to have new equipment.
So I guess this is a hard question to answer, but I got to ask it because I want to make a good informed decision. Based on your experience, being the fleet director. Once the price came back on the Ford Explorer equipped and the Chevrolet pickup truck equipped, would it still be cheaper?
It'll be right around the same price.
So we don't really know.
And that's the only dilemma we have right now, that the new 2020 model vehicles, we can't even get a price on our equipment because it's not available yet. I'm still waiting on price.
For the Explorers.
Because they're changing. The new Explorer has changed in body style. It's gotten bigger, it's gotten wider. Yeah. So not there. So the 19 model equipment will not fit in the 2020.
And this is a 2020?
The vehicles you want to pick up, it's a this year's model.
So you have equipment that will go in.
You'll be able to get equipment for it still.
Yeah.
You can't use the flooded vehicle. No, he has to buy new equipment for either one.
Okay, hang on, I just want to make sure I'm getting off. Okay, so we'll have to buy new equipment for it, which it still, you're saying, would be equal to or less than the Explorer package?
It all depends on if she wants to put a cage in.
Yep.
Now, my guys are well equipped. I have stuff we can retrofit in there, remanufacture, build, put together, make it work.
Yep.
So if she wants to put a cage in it and have a barrier in it, then that will have to be purchased.
So is the truck, would it be eligible to FEMA?
So you're going to get the Blue Book value as well as the job tax. Just like in Harvey, we got Blue Book value on the equipment that we lost.
Yes. The octane and maintain requirements on the vehicle?
We're self-insured. We have some insurance for our off-road equipment, but we've always done self-insurance on the vehicles.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my dilemma is, I mean, you know, and I'm going to just be frank, I mean, I feel like that there needs to be some kind of standard. I absolutely don't want to dictate to an elected official what type of vehicle they need. But there has to be some kind of guidance, and where we go as a court on that during budget time is probably the appropriate time to set those standards, but there needs to be some sort, I mean, of standard. With that being said, I mean, the fact is that the vehicle's cheaper, so it's really hard for me to argue that point. Going back to Commissioner, do I think you need a four-wheel drive Chevrolet truck? I mean, I guess that's debatable, but the point is, it is cheaper, so it's hard for me to argue that point. Is this for you or deputy?
If I may, I'm ready to.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to be clear, I did not ask to be here, but was sent here.
You did ask to be here. You came to my office last week and asked to be here.
No, sir.
Yes, you did. You made a request to speak to Commissioner's Court.
Your first assistant, I believe Mr. Jackson, suggested, because he felt like this wasn't appropriate for open Commissioner's Court, for me to request a workshop. And I told him reluctantly that I did not want to request a workshop because it wasn't my idea to be here, that it was Mr. Swain's idea to be here.
I don't want to beat this dead animal because
there's already tension,
so somebody make a motion.
Let me make a motion. Let me say this. First of all, we shouldn't be here. But since what you said, Commissioner Weaver, and I agree with this, it costs cheaper. We do need to, if we need to get some standards that we want to go by for that, we need to do that. Joe, you passed down the information you received. She made a decision from that. I'll make the motion that we grant her the vehicle she requested. That's the C-1500, I believe is what it is. And let's move on.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'm opposed. Okay, that passes. Moving to County Commissioners, item A is considering possibly approve a resolution to extend the disaster declaration of Tropical Storm Melba pursuant to Section 418.108B of the Government Code. Item B is considering possibly approve a resolution authorizing county grant, Texas Department of Agriculture Home Delivered Meal Grant Program. Item C is considering authorizing the Heritage Society to utilize the historic courthouse foyer for a venture meeting without cost for security expense on November 21st, 2019. Item D is considering possibly approving authorized county judge to execute an access agreement between Jefferson County Precinct 3 and Orion Marine Construction Inc. for temporary use of a portion of land in the Keep Lake Public Boat Ramp. And via addendum, item E is considering
Properly approve and authorize the county judge to execute an application for 2019 Emergency Management Performance Grant to complete the closeout fiscal year 2019 grant year. Do I have a motion on that, under the commission?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Warren. Any discussion?
Judge, I just had an issue with number six, I think I... Number six. There is a side view in the courthouse.
Okay, go ahead.
There was one concern I had, it was the application initiated, and I think I made that in a form of a comment to you. Doesn't get a response back. That is our call, they were just being allowed into the courthouse or something.
Is it?
If you come up to the podium...
The memo I got said something to the effect that they were concerned about why.
Good morning. My name is Alicia McKibben. I'm the executive director for the Beaumont Heritage Society. Heritage Happy Hours are an outreach program. We actually own and operate the John J. French Museum, and we operate the Chambers House Museum. But Heritage Happy Hours we do in public spaces. We've done those in city-owned buildings, including the Terrell Historical Library, the Julie Rogers, the Jefferson Theater. What the program is, yes, we've been at Temple Emanuel, we've been at, St. Michael's Antiochian Church recently. So the program is designed to reacquaint people with our local historical assets and hopefully spark a desire to value preservation in our heritage. What happens is our members are allowed into the event free of charge. We do partner with Giglio Distributing, and they showcase craft beer at the event. They, each person that enters is given two drink tickets. There are no opportunities to purchase additional alcohol. We do also offer wine, and the events last from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Our members are admitted free of charge. We are a membership-based organization. So that is one way that we get funding to operate and maintain the John J. French Museum, which is, yes, we will.
We can do like we have done at the synagogue recently and at St. Michael's Church. If there's question about the alcohol, the beer, the wine, we could do it in a tent, like outside, maybe on the steps. But when people are on the tours, we can have them not bring the beverages on the inside.
Yeah. So excuse me. With what happens in the courthouse, in this courthouse, in reference to what the courts go through, and MAD and all those other things, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I have a major concern with that being promoted within our confinement of this courthouse. I didn't know that, Commissioner Orr. I'm glad you brought to our attention.
I just, obviously y'all do some great things. There's no doubt about that. Please don't misunderstand my comments, but I just can't wrap my head around somebody drinking alcohol in the courthouse. I mean, I can't even.
Like I said, we have
my county attorney on that. You have a mixer here, totally appropriate, I would think, to socialize and have those kinds, because we have other people that come in, but to have alcohol inside the people's house,
I
personally don't have a problem with it. It's after working hours, and the purpose of it is to highlight the historical significance of this building among the membership of the historical society. Sorry. they've done it in many city buildings.
And churches.
Yeah, we can understand that. It's just that with the significance of this building and dealing with the court system and the people that have to go through, it would pose a problem to me as a commissioner.
Let me just, obviously, my time in law enforcement, I worked with others against drunk driving, and, they have their vigils here for people that are killed in drunk driving accidents. And to have somebody in the courthouse drinking alcohol, and I'm just guessing, they gotta get home somehow, they can't fly.
They limit them to two tickets.
Two tickets. Would there be the possibility to have a tent outside and then have guided tours of the building?
I would just have to defer this to the county attorney. Send that your way, I'm concerned about liability. I mean, I know it's two tickets, but you got to explain that to somebody that's been hit by somebody that's got, you know. You're going to take the ride, you may beat it, but you might take the ride just from the odor. I don't know.
The main focus is to highlight, as you all are very well aware, this Art Deco building structure is one of the finest examples of Art Deco in the state. And so we're very proud of it. We also have the Jefferson County Historical Society that was going to help with the tours. They were going to partner with us. The main focus is to highlight this. Most of the times we give out tickets and people don't even use them. I mean, it's just a part to try to get maybe some younger people to go there for the craft beer aspect. But that's not the focus. The focus is the tours and the architecture and for people to have access. A lot of people don't even realize the significance of this building. So that was our focus.
We have no problem with that, but I would ask this, because this is a little long and I think it would be fair. When is this event scheduled?
November 23rd.
If you don't mind, Judge, would you please table this and give our learned attorney a time to come to us and make sure that we follow in some guidelines? That would be my recommendation.
Okay, we'll table it until next week.
Thank you.
All right.
Didn't we vote on the other agenda items, isn't it, Mr. Gidry?
We voted on all of them.
We didn't. Oh, that was under purchasing.
Yes. Under purchasing, yeah.
Okay. We'll table C on the remaining agenda items. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under engineering, I may consider and possibly approve execute receiving file revisions to Jefferson County flood damage prevention order, which expands the definition of substantial improvement. And B is consider and possibly approve the E&M estate subdivision of 7.011 acre tract, recorded in document number 200812852 in the PJ Child Survey A-550 Jefferson County, located on North China Road, precinct number 1, not within any extraterritorial jurisdiction that meets all our planning requirements.
So moved by Commissioner Arnold.
Second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor, say.
Give us something on this A, please, if you don't mind.
Yes, Commissioner. I appreciate the opportunity to present this to you. Our current flood damage prevention order has a definition for repetitive loss, which talks about properties that are damaged more than 25% in any two occurrences over a 10-year period. But it doesn't apply the repetitive loss definition in any of our standards. So if somebody is going to, let's say somebody's been damaged 30% in two different floods, like we do have going on right now, they don't qualify for the ICC, the increased cost of compliance money that they could receive from their insurance company, unless we include this clause in our order. So if what I'm requesting is to, under substantial improvement, to add that the substantial improvement includes structures that have incurred repetitive loss. So that, and I've had several people that have been looking for that recently, asking me for it, because there's a lot of people out there interested in raising their homes right now, and they're looking for that additional funding they can receive through their flood insurance program.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, I say unanimously. On the visitor center, we have one item. A, consider and possibly approve Jefferson County Tourism Committee Fall 2019 Hotel Occupancy Tax Allocation Recommendation. So, voting on that.
So moved.
Second by Commissioner Hoffman, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And before we adjourn, I'd like to invite Bush with Disaster Recovery, DRC, come up and give the commissioners court an update on debris removal operations in Jefferson County.
Gentlemen, Judge Brady, commissioners, how are we all doing? Tomorrow will mark right at 2.5 weeks we've been doing collection. We've collected just shy of 50,000 cubic yards. We officially started the second pass yesterday. Want to discuss maybe later with you gentlemen about a deadline for a day for the residents to get everything put to the curb. But as a whole, I think everything has gone remarkably well. It's gone very quick. Other than very minor complaints and issues, I think everyone's been pleased, so we're happy to.
Have you had any problems with the debris that was not on the right of way that you had difficulty getting to?
Not yet.
Not get to because of the pavement rules required?
There's maybe one instance in Double Oaks, and I've had a couple of residents where we've worked with those residents and gotten those areas taken care of, but they're, as a whole, I think I've seen the one in Double Oaks and it's just pushed way back there in the power lines around the property, so that's something we'll probably need to address.
Mark, I just wanted to thank you for reaching out personally in my precinct. I know we've had some calls. We went out there on site, visited with them, and communicated with them, and as I told you on the phone, communication goes a long ways. And so I do appreciate that. The reports I've been getting from not just my staff, but constituents are, you are doing a good job. You're neat about it. You don't tear up the yards. I think the cherry picker is a good thing. It makes it clean. I would ask that you communicate with Mike White and Emergency Management so that we have good information going out to our citizens about the last pass and timing that as such so that, people understand and know when that last pass is coming, because that way we can tell them you were informed this was going to be the last pass. There's nothing we can change about that. So just good communication, pushing it out on the Facebook page, I think it's good, and out to the neighborhoods as well. So.
Well, in my experience is being out there, we're not getting as much debris as we originally estimated. I think driving around to all the different areas in the aftermath of storms, what I've seen this storm that I didn't see in previous events is so many homeowners that went out and secured row off and painted on their own and had it in their driveway or in their front yard and was mucking and gutting into their own debris containers. So I'm going to guess that's a big part of why we're not seeing what we estimated.
Judge, I agree with you on that. On this second pass, I want to know, Mike, do we have the ability to, through this broadband contract we have, to section off and make calls to individuals to make sure they know that this is the last pass? That's one question, because it was asked to me by individuals about this in general with the disaster and where things are. Did we have that capability? Because somebody is doing that around here.
Commissioner, we can track where the vehicles have been. If there's a neighborhood that gets missed, we're able to spot it on the map. And I usually give Mark a call, or the guy with the Tetra Tech can ask them to hit that area.
Yeah, but he's talking about, can you use Blackboard Connect or to alert homeowners in the unincorporated?
We can do that once we come up with the firm date. We can definitely send that out.
Okay.
Commissioners, any other questions of Mr. Bush?
Yes, I have something.
Ms.
Gidry? Yes. I just want to remind everybody the election is November the 5th. Early voting does start this Monday, October 21st. This is for the constitutional amendments and joint elections for some of the political subdivisions. The sample ballot is on our website, County Clerk's website, under elections, or we have sample ballots in our office, so please don't forget to vote at least once. Thank you.
And I would just mention that
There are a couple of propositions on that ballot, particularly those that carry into effect Senate Bill 7 on setting aside money from running data funds for flood control projects. That's Proposition 8. That's going to be a very important proposition for our area. Look paper, please. Commissioners, anything else?
One last thing, and Ms. Kennedy, if you can, check and see if there's any way we can have an executive session with these drainage districts, because I think we need to have those guys before us to visit with us, if we can do it.
Okay, that's right.
Thank you.
All right, there's nothing further. Okay, and we'll hand for a vote. If there's nothing further, thank you for being here. We're here.
Curiosity. There's something I should say.